If you have your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, we want to continue where we left off on Wednesday evening. We just got started in the book of John. John's Gospel, as I mentioned on Wednesday, is different than the other Gospels. John approaches it from a little different perspective. And he starts by revealing the fact that Jesus is God and equates him with the Father, that he and the Father are one. And starts out by talking about the fact that Jesus is the Logos, or the Word. And I want to pick up where we left off. We left off on verse 3 on Wednesday night, the fact that Jesus is the Creator. He created all things, but by Him all things are created that were created. And it was by His Word. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you'll see that He spoke and things came into being. And it's not like the humanists want us to believe that there was already particles that were there from somewhere, and somehow they just arranged themselves some way and evolved into what we see today. And if you really want to examine the complexity of the universe and the complexity of the human body, the complexity of systems, there is no way it could have happened by chance. And it makes you even more amazed at the wisdom and the knowledge and the power of God to be able to put this all together. Well, I want us to pick up at verse 4, and it talks about the fact that in Jesus is life. Let's pick at verse 4 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, to come before you this afternoon, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the fact that Jesus is the light. Lord, help us to realize the significance of that statement, and that He's not only the light, but He is the light is the life of men. Lord, help us to realize that in You is found life. And Lord, help us to walk in this knowledge and apply this knowledge to our lives on a daily basis. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, this particular portion of John's Gospel, he says that all things were made, verse 4, in Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. Life is light, darkness is death. And I want you to understand that when those are the things that the equations, and John uses this often. He uses light, he uses life, he uses darkness, and he uses death. These are things that are in his gospel as well as his letters that he wrote to the church. Why does he say this? Well, it's amazing because if you look today, I don't know if you have listened to what the world would teach as far as just briefly we mentioned a couple seconds ago, how things came into being. It's dark. It has no hope. It has no meaning. It has no purpose. The whole Darwinian evolution, which really Darwin didn't even prove that there was anything like macroevolution. He only proved that there was a changing within a species, which is called microevolution, and there's always been that. Now, you can see that in people all around us because we don't look alike. We don't talk alike. We're at different heights, different builds. Why? We're different because of the characteristics that were passed on, and there's just thousands and thousands of different makeups that are in the human genome code, so that there's great complexity within the human species. And that's within any species, because there's great complexity because of the makeup within the DNA of any particular organism. And if you go back and look at what Darwin did, Darwin was studying birds on the Galapagos Islands, and these birds were all of the same species, but guess what? They had different shaped beaks. They had different colors. They had different sizes of bodies, but guess what? They were all the same species. If you did a DNA test, which he couldn't do at that time, we could do it today, you would discover that they all came from an original pair that contained all the genetic coding that gave all these different species. That is called microevolution, or the ability of species to change and also to adapt to different things. For example, when I was in school and taking biology, they talked about the moths in England. And how that these moths that prior to the coal, industrial coal being used throughout London, there were a lot of light-colored moths. And then all of a sudden coal came and everything was soot-covered. And so it was black. And all of a sudden the moths started turning black. And it showed that evolution existed. No, it showed that there was adaptability, and it also showed that birds that ate the moths could see the clear-colored ones when the coal buildings got black a lot easier than they could see the dark-colored ones. And so consequently, you had a genetic family makeup of DNA that was shifting towards dark-colored moths. It had nothing to do with evolution, but everything to genetic adaptability. And there's two totally different things. And evolution, it does not exist where you come from a moth turning into a bat. It won't happen. From a chimpanzee turning into a human. It won't happen. The only way that that will ever happen is if you have men that genetically modify the DNA, and they have to do that by really tampering with God's creation, and it doesn't happen on its own, no matter how long you try and make it happen. And so we see that John is saying, that's light. Darkness is death. And this world's philosophies are dark. They do not offer hope. They don't offer long-term peace and joy, as we've talked before. Only God gives us hope, peace, joy, love. He gives us these things in the real definition, holding true on these things, where the world gives you, Satan, as he always does, gives us a cheap replica that isn't even a replica. He says, this will make you feel peaceful. So take these drugs and they'll make you feel peaceful. The only problem is they'll destroy your body, they'll destroy your mind, they'll give you great confusion of mind, and they'll make you less peaceful in the long run and eventually kill you. But believe me, it'll give you peace. Where God comes and he says, I will give you the light of life, which provides true peace. And guess what? It won't give you a high, and it won't destroy your mind, and it won't destroy all the things that drugs do. That's just one example of darkness versus light, Satan's cheap imitation versus God's real thing. So John is telling us that the light is the life of men. And so life and light are connected. Jesus is the light of the world, and he is the author of life. Satan is the author of death. Jesus himself said that Satan was a murderer from the beginning, and he loves death. It's interesting when you look at the things that are associated with the occult, that are associated with the drug culture, which are associated with the rock culture. I don't know about you, but a lot of the symbolism is symbolism of death, not life. The pictures that you'll see, the graphics that you'll see, the words of the lyrics of the songs that you'll hear, it's death, death, death in one form or another. in Jesus' life. And that's why when it should impact the things that we listen to, the things that we read, we should go for things of life, not things of death. And as Christians, we should understand this. Now it says here, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, when did the light begin to shine in darkness? Well, when God created the world, it says that He created physical light, and He separated the night from the day. But that's not the darkness He's speaking of here. He's speaking of spiritual darkness. And the light He's talking about is spiritual truth that is found in God. When did that begin to shine on the darkness? Well, right at the Garden of Eden. When Satan first tempted Adam and Eve, that is when God's light, His spiritual light, shined on darkness. It shined on what Adam and Eve had done, and as we talked about in this morning's message, Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. They tried to cover themselves, and they realized that they had sinned. And they were trying to not have to have God find out about it, but God knows all things, and we'll be studying next Sunday morning about how He looks and at our very thoughts and intents. We can hide nothing from Him. Why? Because He is light and it shines. I don't know about you, but I've got some problems. I can't really see that good in the dark. And so at night, if I want to go downstairs, my wife's always telling me, turn on the light! Why? Because she doesn't want me to fall down the stairs, because I can't see when the last stair is coming, and sometimes I think I'm not there yet, and I am, or I think that I am there, and I'm not. And so I turn on the lights, and guess what? I can see. Well, what the light does spiritually is it helps people to see the darkness, not only in their life, but the darkness in this world. If you look at what is happening in our world, if you don't have spiritual insight and discernment, you probably will not understand what is happening around you. If you look at the nation of Israel as an example, God told them not to get involved with the Canaanites when they came into the land. And they were not to take their idols, they were not to take their icons, they were not to take and worship their gods, because they were darkness and death. And He said, don't have anything to do with them. As a matter of fact, drive them out from amongst you, that they're not with you. Well, guess what? Not all the Israelites listened to God. As a matter of fact, the majority of them didn't listen to God. And they allowed the Canaanites to stay in the land. And the Canaanites began to impact Israel. And all of a sudden, Israel became more dark and more dark and more dark. And we see that at the highest point of darkness, really in the Israeli culture, manifested itself during the time of King Manasseh, where King Manasseh was actually killing babies, offering the sacrifices to the pagan gods. He was setting up high groves in high places. He was having occultic worship instead of the worship of the true and living God, and he was leading the whole nation of the southern kingdom into apostasy. And not only apostasy, but false worship and the worship of the demonic instead of the true and living God. Real darkness. Well, guess what? God shined light on that. And not only did He shine light on it shortly after Manasseh died, and it was during his grandson's rule, Josiah, when he came to rule and power, He shined light on the whole culture. And guess how He did it? Through His Word. Josiah was just a young boy when he came to be the king of Israel. And one of the things that he did is God gave him a desire to understand His Word. And he had those around him who were godly who showed him God's Word. And as God began to impact Josiah's life, because the Word of God illuminates our hearts, he desired that the Word be read to all of Israel. And so he had the Levites and the priests go out and read the Word of God to all the communities in Israel. So they would hear God's Word. And guess what happened? Revival began to occur under Josiah. And the very some of the very things that his grandfather had built, Josiah tore down. The pagan worship centers, the pagan and idolatrous activity of the land. Why? What was happening? The light was shining on the darkness and revealing it, and the people began to understand what it was, and God's Spirit caused them to withdraw from the darkness and go to the light. And so we see that this is what it's saying here, is the light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness doesn't comprehend it, but those who want to know the light will. It's interesting, if you have your lights on at night and it's dark out, you know, and you turn them on and certain bugs are drawn to the light and other bugs flee from the light. They don't want to be seen. And that's kind of the way the world is. When the light of Jesus is shown, there are certain people that are drawn to that light because they want to know what it is. Others flee from it because it exposes who they are and what they're about. And so we see that that is what Jesus is, the light of the world. He exposed Adam and Eve in their sin. He exposed Israel in their sin. He exposes us in our sin. I just want to tell you one thing, why during the pandemic they wanted to make churches of no value. They said, you know, there are a lot of things that had great value, but churches didn't. And the churches should be closed. Why? Because if pastors were doing their due diligence, if Christians were following the Lord the way they should, churches would be beacons of light in the midst of darkness, and they would have exposed a lot of these dark, really demonic-driven philosophies that were permeating the world to bring about a one-world government, a one-world economy, and a one-world religion. And it would have exposed it, and people would have stood up and said, we want to follow God, not these ungodly men. And that's why they wanted to silence churches. The sad thing is, the churches, in many cases, fell into the darkness instead of being drawn to the light. But it says here that the light exposes darkness, but darkness does not comprehend the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This was John the Baptist. And as John the Baptist was sent, he came to be a witness, to bear a witness of the light. Now, who is the light? The light is Jesus. So John came to bear witness of Jesus and to reveal to the world that he had come. This was a dark time in Israel's history as well. I want you to just historically see what was happening when Jesus came. The king of Israel wasn't a Jew. He wasn't of the line of David, and he wasn't fulfilling who was to actually be the king. The high priest wasn't of the descendant of Aaron. He wasn't of the line that was supposed to be the high priest, and he really wasn't fulfilling what the high priest was supposed to be. These were the two great leaders of Israel. Neither one of them was being promoted correctly. The high priest was being promoted politically by the Romans, and just like the king was being politically appointed by the Romans, and neither one of them were being appointed by God according to his word. That is real darkness, and some real awful things were coming out of it. Religiously, the high priests were keeping the people in darkness. Why? They didn't want the light. When Jesus came and was the light, and he exposed the darkness that was there, they wanted nothing to do with the light. As a matter of fact, they struck back at Jesus, constantly ridiculing him, more than once trying to have him put to death before they finally got him put to death on the cross. But on other occasions, they tried to stone him. They tried to have him put to death prior to that. We see that the king, who was appointed by the Romans, when Jesus was born, the Herod that was in power at that time, tried to kill him. Why? Satan didn't want the light coming into the world. Then Herod's descendants, who were the king during the time of Jesus's teaching and walking on the earth and his utterances and being amongst the people for the 3.5 years, that king really wanted nothing. Said he wanted something to do with Jesus, but he was like a lot of Christians. He said to Jesus, bring him in. Maybe he'll perform some miracles for me. I'll get the miracle show. This should be fun. There's a lot of Christians like that today too, but that's a false light. Jesus didn't come just to put on a show. He didn't come to do miracles when we request Him to do miracles so we can say, wow, that's pretty cool, I got to see a miracle. No. And there's a lot of Christians like that today that want the miracle show. And they say, well, I'd do that if Jesus would do this. That's not what the light does. The light shows what darkness is, and darkness doesn't want anything to do with the light. The light wants us to follow Him and to be led by the light. So we see here, He was not that light, that is, John the Baptist was not that light, but He was sent to bear witness of that light, that this was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus stated this more than once. First of all, physical life of every person that's breathing was born. Where did that life come from? You ever stop and think about it? Those who turned out to be the most awful, ungodly pagans that fought against God, who gave them life when they were born? Who gave Adolf Hitler life? Who gave Stalin life? Who gave some of our current leaders in our country that want to destroy Christians and destroy the church? Who gave them life? God. Jesus. Every person has physical life because God gave it to them. Now, it's what we do with that life once we begin to come of age where we can think and act and respond and make our own decisions determines how we respond to that life that was given to us and the light that is behind that life. But He says here, He gave life to every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, but the world knew Him not. Just stop and think about that. He came into the world as a God-man, but the world didn't know He was. And what they did, they stood, and the one who had given them life, and the Bible tells us He also sustains our life, the one who gave them life, they spat upon Him, they ridiculed Him, they cursed Him, and they put Him to death. It hasn't really changed today. You've got people that you come and you present the gospel, and you show them who Jesus is, they ridicule Him, they mock Him, and they want to put Him out of the picture, which is really to death. Why? Because they comprehended not who was standing before them. Remember when Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Pilate asked this question, what is truth? Now, that is the most rhetorical question that's probably been ever asked in the history of the world, because who is standing right in front of Him? Truth! Truth! And Pilate's saying, what is truth? Where do I find truth? It's right here. Right in front of you, Pilate. But Jesus didn't open His mouth. Why? He could have opened His mouth and called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free. But instead, He sat silent as a sheep before its shearer and as a sheep that was going to slaughter. Why? Because He had a greater thing to do than answer Pilate's rhetorical question. He had to go and redeem the world from its sin. And so we see here, He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. He came unto the Jewish people. They should have been the ones who knew who He was. They were given the prophecies dealing with His coming, His birth, His place of birth, His time of birth, when He'd enter Jerusalem, how He'd enter Jerusalem, His purpose for entering Jerusalem. All of that was given by the prophets, but they didn't know who He was. They didn't receive Him, and they received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon His name. And there were those that received Him. Initially, it was a small group of disciples, including the apostles. And then from there, it spread like fire throughout the world as the gospel went forward. And then verse 13, and then we'll close, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So those that received Him, it's interesting, they were born of God. And the three things that it says here, they were not born of blood. Our physical birth isn't what gives us spiritual life. And nor of the will of the flesh. We can't will ourselves into a relationship with God, and we can't will ourselves into being bearers of the light. Nor of the will of man. Man can't establish a religious system or a means by which they can become God. I've shared with you before, one of the founders of psychology was Abraham Maslow. Abraham Maslow had a hierarchy of needs. The greatest hierarchy of needs is you went up the, they started out with the most basic and fundamental needs, which were things that sustain physical life. And then he went up his hierarchy of needs. The highest need that man had was to be self-actualized or self-actualization. And that, by self-actualization, if you read what he meant, that man would become a god unto himself, to be self-determining. In other words, separating himself totally from God or any other influence, he would be the determiner of his own destiny. I want to tell you, that was an absolute lie from the pit of hell. That's just what Satan's lie was. I will become God. I will be the one that directs. I will be the one that sits on the throne of the Most High in the place of the north. I will be God. That is what Abraham Maslow was teaching. It hasn't changed in psychology today. Psychology is still based upon humanism and that man will somehow attain godhood. It's saying here, self-will of man doesn't matter. You've listened to some of these teachers that teach this self-will and self-help programs and just pick yourself up by the bootstraps and you can do it. The problem is, man's will cannot save them. Man's will cannot forgive their sins. Man's will cannot set them free, and man's will not keep them out of hell. But he's saying here, the will of God can. And the will of God is that all men should be saved, all men should come to the light, all men should experience the life that is found in Jesus Christ, and all men should have eternal life. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things. Help us to apply these truths to our life. Help us to live these truths, and may we allow this light to shine through us that the world may see it. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn...